You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Don't forget, comedian Ari Shaffir will join us coming up at 9:20, so you don't want to miss that. Right now, we head to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Tariq El-Bashir, Caps insider for Monumental Sports Network. What's up, Tariq? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
So I'm perusing your latest article on monumentalsportsnetwork.com. The title is Caps No Good Alone Isn't Enough Against the Rangers or Versus the Rangers. And in the opening third line, I believe, of the story, you mentioned the Caps' proficiency on the power play from February 6th until the end of the regular season, where they were the top power play in the NHL, connecting on nearly 29% of their chances. But Sunday, that power play was grisly. It was difficult to watch. They went 0-4. They only managed 3 shots on goal in that game one. That has to improve if they have a chance going forward in game two.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the Capitals realize that as well. You know, before the Capitals kind of went on that power play tear in the second half of the season, you know, the unit had some ups and downs in the first half. But one thing that really stood out to me was in those 4 games against the Rangers early on in the season, the power play struggled against them as well. I believe it was 0-10 during the regular season against the Rangers, with just a handful of shots and very few scoring chances. So the Capitals came into the series knowing that they were going to have their work cut out for them on the power play, knowing that the power play was going to play a big role in whether they were able to pull off an upset. And, you know, one game in, they're still struggling against a very, very good Rangers penalty kill. When I went back and I kind of watched some of the power play sequences for the Capitals, a few things stood out to me. They had a tough time getting into the zone and then setting up.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and again, all credit to the Rangers. They have been the third best penalty kill in the entire NHL throughout this season. They put some of their skilled guys on the PK, which is sometimes somewhat different than how some teams handle it. And those guys are great skaters, and they're able to meet the Capitals at the point of attack, meet them at the blue line, poke pucks off their stick, and just make it hard for them to gain the zone. And if you can't gain the zone, you're going to be chasing that power play the rest of those 2 minutes.
Tark, where did you come down on the borderline hit, as Carberry talked about, on Iorio, where he went into the boards? It looked like a boarding call, but it wasn't whistled a penalty. Play continued. Rangers score 2 or 3 seconds later. And then later in the game, Rempe gets Malenstein. I thought it was an inadvertent elbow. I don't think he really meant to hit him with it. He didn't hit him with a lot of force, but it was enough to knock him down. And then I believe that was Vizi scored that goal, like, immediately. Yep. Thereafter. Yep. How did you see those games, those plays, obviously huge in the outcome of the game. Did you think a penalty should have been called on either one?
Yeah, I think those 2 plays that you mentioned were certainly turning points in that game. The play where Lafreniere hit Iorio, I don't know. I kind of agree with Carbs in that it was maybe borderline in terms of charging / boarding. It was also a young player who bobbled the puck and probably could have put himself in a better position to not get nailed there. But you're right. The outcome was Iorio going down, being out of the play, everyone kind of looking over to go, whoa, there was a big thump over there. What happened? And then within a half second, the Rangers now have a turnover, a 3-on-1 with Artemi Panarin, he of 120 points in the regular season, wide open in the right circle. And, the one play that Charlie Lindgren said he maybe wishes he had played a little different was that play. That 3-on-1, obviously that's a very tough position for any goaltender to be in, but he felt like maybe he overcommitted a little bit and was trying to play the pass. And that gave Panarin, who's just too good to not play square up, and he scored that goal. So I don't know if I would have called a penalty. I do feel like that was a borderline play. The other play that you mentioned, again, I think that's 6'7" versus 6 foot. You know what I mean? Like elbows are high with those. Mm-hmm. Those guys are big. It was more of a glancing blow. I didn't get a chance to talk to Beck about it directly, but. I think in general, guys, I have two thoughts on the officiating so far in this series. The first period was officiated like a regular season game. They were calling everything. I think they were trying to send a message, and that put the Capitals, especially the physical guys like Tom Wilson, on their heels a little bit because they're looking around going, wow, they're calling everything. And then the second period, everything changed, and it went to kind of playoff officiating. So I think everyone on both teams was trying to get a feel for what the standard for a penalty was going to be. Hopefully this game is the series is officiated the way it was in the latter parts of the second period and third period, and allows this great intensity that we see in the playoffs to kind of flourish and define the series, as opposed to some ticky-tack fouls and calls called earlier in the first period. But in general, getting back to the Malenstein play, he kind of lost his composure, and I think the team did as well. I think just in general, I'd like to see the Capitals kind of keep an even keel a little bit better here in game two.
Talking to Tariq El-Bashir, Caps Insider for Monumental Sports Network. So Ovi statistically didn't get a shot, but he fired it 7 times. The Rangers blocked 5. Is that what we can expect the rest of the series? Did you notice like what they did strategically against Ovi to slow him down?
Yeah. So when you're on the road, the home team gets the last line change, and Peter Laviolette, veteran coach, top 10 in wins, was here for a few years. He knows this team's personnel. He's also incredibly successful in the first game of series over the course of his career. You give him time to prepare, and he's going to figure out your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. That, in addition to knowing the personnel, I think gave them a little bit of a leg up in terms of matchups. I do feel like the struggles on the power play led into some of what we saw going on with Ovi, but at even strength, you could tell that Laviolette was hard matching that Trocheck, Lafreniere, Panarin line against Ovi's line. And look, that Trocheck line is one of the best all season long, has been the best all season long in terms of 5-on-5 play. They just have the puck a lot, and they're good two-way players. And I feel like Spencer Carberry was doing his best to try to get Ovi away from that matchup. But again, when you have the last line change, you're going to win that matchup. It's going to be different when the series switches to Washington. I don't think, when I look at Ovi's game, I don't think I say, oh, well, he could have given more. He could have been better. I mean, he got off 7 shot attempts. He found some space. But it's up to him as a 38-year-old veteran forward. He knows the situation. He's just got to find a better way, find better shot lanes, whether it's getting to the net a little bit more. He's got to find a way to be more effective. He was one of the guys who carried this team down the stretch, and they're going to need him in this series.
The last line change thing, a caller mentioned that, and I know we've talked about it in years past. It's kind of definitely an underappreciated, I think, by the average fan, like how important that really is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think if someone out there listening is like a casual fan, and it's hard on television sometimes because you don't always get a look at the cat and mouse game that's going on.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Between whistles, yeah. But when you're in the building, look down next time you're at an NHL game and watch how three forwards will come out, and then they may skate up to, they may start moving towards the faceoff circles, and they all three go back, and then another three come out. And, I mean, there is, and especially in the playoffs, where matchups and just every moment means so much inside of a game. The coaches really, really go after matchups. I mean, they do during the regular season, but it's even more pronounced in the postseason. And, you know, part of it is preparation, and part of it is you are playing the same opponent for at least four games, if not longer. So you've had more time to prepare. You're only worried about that opponent. You're not worried about what's happening in the next game or the next game or the next. You're just worried about the one team you're playing. And, I mean, I'll be honest, as kind of a hockey nerd that really enjoys this stuff, I love watching the matchups.
Mm-hmm. Tarik, as you know, this Ranger team, they're just not going to give you many gimmies, if any, especially in the playoffs. I mean, since January 27th, they're 26-8. So they've lost 8 games in 3 months. Yeah. It's just kind of a crazy stretch. And I think you kind of already alluded to this. And tonight, guys like Milano and Oshie, obviously Ovi, Stromer, Wilson, they got to get more shots. Now, I know it's easier said than done because the Rangers' defense is so good, but how can that happen? Protas led them in shots with 6, but how can they, those other big name guys that they've kind of banked on for the regular season, get more involved?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the body of work of the Capitals this season, they have had some hot stretches, but they've been defined by kind of an offense that just couldn't really get into gear for long stretches. That's just kind of been their MO. They've won with goaltending and really good defense and timely goals and power play goals. That's just their formula right now. I think if we look at the way this team is constructed and go, okay, well, you know, they got 21 shots in game 1. They got to somehow double that. Well, that's just going to be really hard against a top opponent like the Rangers.
Right.
They just need to go back to the way they won those important games down the stretch. And like I said, that was Charlie Lindgren playing out of his mind. He was good in game 1. He's got to be great, and that's just the reality of the situation. That's the reality of the way this series is going to play out. If the Capitals are going to win, he has to outduel Igor Shesterkin. I mean, and Shesterkin is one of the best goaltenders on the planet. He won the Vezina Trophy 2 years ago. He was really good in Game 1, wasn't tested, but getting back to Lindgren, he's just got to not just be good, he's got to be great. Alex Ovechkin has to find a way. He's got to find a way to generate a little bit more. The power play, they got to figure it out, whether they're going to switch up personnel, whether they're going to change up their strategy, whatever they're going to do, the power play also has to produce. I feel like they got a really defined kind of way of how they were winning games in the second half of the season, and it was just 2-1 and 3-2. It was great goaltending from Lindgren. It was popping a power play goal every other game. It was Alex Ovechkin sometimes on the power play. I kind of feel like they're one and same because he got a lot of his offense on the power play. And then that suffocating man-to-man defense just holding on for dear life in the third period of one goal games. If they're going to beat the Rangers, they just got to fall back on that blueprint that they established for themselves in the second half.
Are you feeling good about tonight?
You know what I like? Yes, I am, and I'll tell you why. The Capitals played a great road first period, so they know what it looks like. You know, they were able to do it for a little bit. I mean, if we look at game 1, the Capitals were in it except for like a 2.5-minute stretch of craziness in the second period where it just got away from them. And that's what teams like the Rangers, who are stacked and are just really good top to bottom, can do to you. If you, as one player said yesterday, just fall asleep for a few minutes, the game just slips right through your fingers. But going back to that first period, if they're able to play the way they did in that opening 20 minutes for a longer stretch today, Charlie Lindgren goes back to one of the best goaltenders in the league and makes 3, 4, 5 huge saves that, come at the right time. I think the Capitals could go back with a split. And if they go back with a split, again, the pressure all shifts back to the Rangers, the President's Trophy winners. Everyone expects them to steamroll their way to the final. And, you know, as guys in D.C. who watch this Capitals team, we know what that's like, right? I mean, three times in the past, you know, a handful of years, the Capitals had all that pressure as the President's Trophy winning team and it didn't work out for them. So if the Caps can get one win here tonight, I think that will change the tone and tenor of the season, of the series.
Tarek, thanks as always, man. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Tarek El-Bashir. Give him a follow at Tarek_El-Bashir on Twitter. Caps Insider for Monumental Sports Network. When we come back, we'll get back into the Commanders. We'll hear some of the audio from Drake May. He'll comment on the Top Golf visit. We'll get into that next. You're on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Don't forget comedian Ari Shaffir, who will be in Washington, D.C. at Capitol Turnaround to record his new special on April 26th and 27th. He'll join the show at 9:20, and Trace McSorley coming on at 9:40. So a lot still to get to on the show.
So I'm hitting my wall, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I mean, stayed up for the game. It was worth it. It was awesome. It was just fun watching that game unfold and the Nuggets coming back to win.
What time did you end up crashing?
Probably after one.
Oh, my God. You're going to die. You might die driving home.
I mean, the only thing that would keep me up that late is a Caps playoff game that went into 8 overtimes.
Yeah.
Well, his boy plays again tonight at 10.
Luka?
So, yeah, so he'll be watching that
game
for sure.
You stay up and watch Luka? You're going to take an epic 2-hour nap.
I will. I have a lot of things going on today, though.
Well, they're going to take a back seat to your nap.
I don't know.
He's a busy man.
I got to get an 8-miler in.
Dude, when I come after every show, I go to the club. Mm-hmm. I do my sauna, hit balls, and then whatever happens, and then my day goes from there. I'm so tired. By the time I hit like 200, then I'm like rolling my windows down. I'm like smacking my leg.
Just so you can get home without.
Just so I could get. Yeah, well, I go to the club. But but yeah. And then the sauna wakes me up a little bit, sure. And then whatever.
Revives you.
It kind of gets the blood flowing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I only had 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And what is this? I know we're going to talk about the Drake May thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that when I travel in a hotel, I sleep like butt? And the bed's fine. This is fine. It's not the bed's fault.
I have a theory.
Pillows.
Pillows usually aren't very good.
Pillows. But then in my house, I sleep great compared to hotels.
Compared to hotels,
not even close.
I think I like a firm pillow. If I have a soft, floofy pillow, it's no bueno. Right. I do not like it.
I like a thin, feathery pillow.
Do you think it's
the
pillow?
I always struggle at hotels with
the
pillows.
I think it's a component.
I think it's like the... It's just the difference.
I think it's just
it's something about
it's
the
not your
difference.
Comfort zone. It's not your comfort. The bed's not the same.
The airflow is not the same.
Yeah,
you're not sure you get the lighting the way you want it. To be dark enough.
You need some white noise.
I mean, the bed's fine, but it's not as nice as your bed at home.
My bed at home is so nubs at this point. It kind of is like is like a dip in the middle from.
You need to call our friends at Sleep Number to get
You
got to
call Sleep Number.
You need a new mattress.
It's so old.
That's why. It's
one of the reasons why I hate visiting my parents or staying the night at my parents' house.
Because your bed's so old?
Childhood bed's so old. It's like a cave in the middle.
Kind of like that.
It's just so super saggy.
It's subtle, but it's not like. Probably what you're describing, but there is a little subtle.
It dips down in the middle. It's butt uncomfortable.
Right. Also, do you have like that? I have a hard time keeping like a sliver of light coming in whenever I'm at MGM. Like unless I clip.
Oh, you like it pitch black.
Oh, I need it. I need it to look like a crypt. I need it to look pitch black to be able to sleep.
I like that, but I've gotten used to like a little bathroom light with the door a little.
Don't like that at all.
Open a little bit.
Don't like just it even so a little bit.
Just so I don't break my nose walking into the bathroom if
sure,
I have to.
Sure, there is that. There is. You run that risk if you get up in the middle of the night.
Right.
I understand.
Right.
Anyway, to answer your question, I'm not going to stay up tonight.
Tonight you can't.
Well, you say that now, but you know you might feel
different. I know, I got sucked in. I got, you know, you were probably sleeping for 2 hours. I think I arrived at my house from, then I went to Fredericksburg, and I left Fredericksburg around, 8:45, so I got back home after 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah, I was asleep by 8:30.
Yeah.
And I took a shower, and this then kid. I put on the game.
But I sleep from 8:30 to 12 pretty hard, and then I'm up.
You're terrible. Just fitful.
I'm just up. I'm looking at the clock, going to the bathroom, dogs moving around. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep great.
Your last 3 or 4 hours
my
is
1
brutal.
To 4 is not good.
You know what? I bet sleeps
8:30
great.
To midnight, pretty good,
I bet
but
guy,
1 to 4, not
Drake
good.
May sleeps. He probably sleeps like a baby every night.
Probably
he
does.
He knows he's going to be a top 3 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, he knows he's going to be filthy
like
rich soon.
He's handsome. He's young. Mm. He's a stud athlete.
Mm. Is he handsome for real? Is he handsome?
He's a good looking kid, yeah.
Because I saw one picture of him. I mean,
he's not
great.
Jimmy G, but he's a decent looking kid.
All right. I don't really know. I didn't think
he's
was fine. So handsome.
He's leading like a charmed life.
You think anybody's ever called him Richard Gere?
I doubt
well,
it.
Well, probably
he's
not because
21.
Nobody in his age group knows who Richard Gere is.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just saying. I was called Richard Gere.
Nobody's walked up to Drake May and said, "Hey, you look like the guy from Officer and a Gentleman," which right. came out in the early 80s. By the way, I don't think we ever touched on the fact that I think it was a couple weeks ago that Louis Gossett Jr. passed away.
I know.
That sucks.
He terrible. Did.
He was amazing in that movie.
Richard Gere was great in Primal Fear.
He was very good in that. That's correct.
Old Eddie Norton.
Yes. Good twist at
so
the end of
So what were
that
you going to say about Drake May?
Oh, I'm saying he sleeps like a baby because of all the things I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We have audio of him talking about his experience at Topgolf, which has become very, it's become a very
think about
controversial
all the
thing.
Added
free advertising.
The advertising just, they've been getting. Topgolf.
Just get so hooked.
Unbelievable.
Good How did them. You view the Commander's Topgolf? That whole thing.
I actually thought it was one of the cool events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact, and I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. You know, got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process, and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Mary Smith. Yeah. I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I knew JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think.
Yeah.
You know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Topgolf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before. So,
were you the best golfer there?
I like to say I was. I think I had the best swing. So I think I was hitting it pretty good. So, but JJ McCarthy was hitting it well as well.
Okay,
Aaron
good.
Paul was hitting it well. The Iowa tight end, he was hitting it pretty good. So,
but you thought it was a good different experience to kind of meet the guys.
Yeah, something that they changed it up. I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, let me just say this again, if it's not clear. My position, EB, I don't know about the other guys. Mm-hmm. I think you agree, but we all have our own opinions. The Topgolf thing has been the most overblown conversation over the last 3 weeks of maybe anything we've ever talked about. It was silly. It was no big deal. They just went over there to play a little golf, entertain a little bit, and if they got a little science experiment out of it to see how guys interact, fine. I don't think it was a slight to anyone. Yeah. I don't think it was a massive test. I mean, and I think Drake described it perfectly. We had a great time. We're out there We all got to do our little meetings, our one-on-ones, and we had some fun.
Right, so if someone had a problem with it, I would question them.
Right.
Yeah, well, what's the problem?
I would. I would question them.
Chris Sims had a problem with it.
No, the problem is...
I question them.
No. They're fine. They're just being blowhards. The problem is you have someone's agent saying stuff.
Yeah.
And reacting to it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
I question that guy.
If he didn't say anything or respond to anything,
it wouldn't be a story. Right.
It wouldn't be a story. It's a story because that camp, I don't know if Jaden said it to his agent or anything like that, but the story is that camp didn't like it. Everyone else who was taking the May approach where, yeah, it was fun. It was cool. It was a fun time. It was awesome hanging out with a bunch of people I haven't seen in a while.
Right.
That's what you expect.
Right.
Right? But yes. it's becoming a problem because of certain comments about it.
Well, didn't you think people made fun of it before the agent even commented? I think
some people were kind of
Some people
before.
talked about it.
People were mocking it, but I just thought that was dumb.
But May
the
even
agent
mentioned
thing, I have no
it.
Idea what his motivation is. Because an agent that wants his guy to slide is maybe a dumb agent.
I mean, didn't May right at the beginning of the audio basically say, look, we've done all these steak dinners. Like, this is something that's a little bit different. Like, the Commanders did something that was out of the box and unconventional,
yeah,
and they're just getting attacked for it.
Yeah.
It does seem very overblown.
I blame social media.
You know, my friggin' YouTube, it listens to everything we talk about. So everything we talk about shows up on my YouTube, mm-hmm, right? And every podcast in the country was making fun of the Commander's Topgolf, mm-hmm, thing. And by the way, I don't really get offended when people make fun of the Commanders because I do it all the time. The Skins.
Yeah.
I had no problem with the Topgolf thing.
I think
zero.
I did see somebody mention that Tuesdays is 50%
half
off
price.
At
half
Topgolf
price Tuesdays.
So maybe the Commanders
so
got a good
deal.
Yeah. But maybe they got hooked.
But the it's like you said, it's unconventional.
Right.
Just like, you know, if the Commanders drafted two quarterbacks in the first round,
right,
it would be unconventional. It would get made fun of. It would be mocked. Mm-hmm. Same reason that this is getting mocked. But it didn't become a news story until someone made it a news story. That's why there's all of this kerfuffle about
that's
it.
That's the world we live in, though. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I know.
There's always going to be someone out there that has a problem with something.
The only thing I'll say, adding to what Valdez said, is I think people were criticizing it before the agent did. And they were saying how goofy it was that they brought out 30 guys to Topgolf instead of doing individuals. And I just think that criticism is dumb.
Well, they do individual meetings. I mean, they
I
do
know,
that.
I know. I agree.
No, but I guess the argument is, okay, these individual meetings, if they squeezed 20 or 30 guys into one day, is different than having a full day
right
with just Jaden Daniels.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows how the Raiders do it or the Patriots or the Vikings? We have no idea.
I've heard some players say, not Topgolf, but that they've done similar things,
yeah,
in group settings. I told you that when I saw Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show, he said sometimes they would bring in as many as a dozen guys together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it had to do with scheduling. And sometimes he thought it was cool to run plays and see how each individual position group would react to the play. Like, they'd say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's hear what the quarterback thinks on this. Let's see what the wide receiver thinks on this, to kind of pick their brain that way.
Maybe they did. Who knows? We'll never know. But I agree with you. I mean,
it's just such an overblown thing. Now, again, the angle of from the agent's perspective, I mean, did Jaden tell him to poo-poo it? I doubt it. Maybe Jaden thought it was kind of strange, and then this guy just got half a screw loose, and he tweeted it.
Right.
I told you his rosters of players. It's not like, you remember when Lee Steinberg back in the day had all the sillies,
yeah,
or Scott Boras, Major League Baseball, has all the sillies.
Yeah.
This guy has, I think it was about 10 to 15 guys, so he has a significant roster, but there was really only two or three names I recognized.
Right.
Levante David was his best player. He's a very good player.
He's really in the spotlight.
And then Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm. He's in the spotlight with Jaden Daniels as his client.
Yeah.
This isn't Tom Condon back in the day. I don't know who the top NFL agents are anymore.
I will say Jaden is definitely making the media push more so than the other candidates.
Although Drake just did this podcast.
I know, but this podcast compared to Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharpe's podcast has has less of a Q rating.
Right.
John Beck, his quarterback's coach, was on Rich Eisen's show.
Mm-hmm.
His
what did
agent,
Beck say? Did Beck say, I mean, he just raved about him?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, he raved about him. Mm-hmm. He talked about how he's still learning to avoid hits, mm-hmm. and he compared it to RG3. He said RG3 was more of straight line track speed. Jaden,
definitely true.
And like Lamar, they're able to have more wiggle to them. They're able to avoid contact. But it seems like his camp, his agent's more vocal. His camp is definitely more vocal than the three that
what,
we brought
I,
him with
What
him.
I got to know is the mom. So we read the scouts take that the mom has got a lot of antics. Somebody, what's the mom? What is that?
I saw somebody say that the mom stuff was overblown, too.
I'm sure it is. But what is the – what is?
I think
the,
it goes back to when he left ASU.
That she was just super involved and all that?
I'm sure she was, but I don't know
the
backstory.
I listened to a Herm Edwards interview. I can't remember who it was with. Maybe it was
so
with John.
So she allegedly helped book more than $1,100 in flights for recruits and their guardians.
Okay, so
which
she
I guess
was
a big
she
deal.
Was maybe helping Herm with the recruiting or something? Is that what was going on? She was kind of tied in with Herm. Because didn't Herm basically get in trouble? I wish Drabby was here.
Yeah, he got fired.
For recruiting violations.
Well,
right?
That was during COVID. Part of it? It was during COVID. It was the COVID violation where you weren't supposed to have kids on campus. And he was Harbaugh did the same thing.
Right.
I bet you a bunch of coaches did it.
Of course.
But, yeah, that's the main reason.
Right. Well, they also weren't winning great, were they? Right.
No.
Right. Because if you're winning, you can outrun almost anything.
You throw them overboard if you're not winning.
Yeah. Some say that she may have slammed ASU football on the way out.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the exact quote.
Draft T-shirt does that every other day.
She's an involved mom.
Like I said yesterday.
I got it.
If she's being compared to LeBron James' mom.
Right, LeBron's
okay, maybe
good.
That's not ideal, but it's worked out with LeBron James.
They used to say same stuff about Iverson's mom.
Yeah, if you got to deal with a little headache, but the player's great, who cares?
Right.
Just something you got to deal with. All right, don't forget, coming up later in the show, Trace McSorley will join us at 9:40. He played under Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona.
Well, we're also going to get his take on Daniels in May,
yep.
too.
Yep. Definitely do that. And comedian Ari Shaffir, he'll join the show coming up at 9:20 here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I think 60%, if not higher, of our non-sports stories are culled from the New York Post in some fashion. Here's the headline. Attractive women inspire men to tell the truth and women to lie.
What?
According to a study. Now, I've never heard of this organization. The Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization conducted a study where they gave men and women, 110 individuals each, a questionnaire with an image of a woman attached. And they falsely told participants it was the face of the scientist leading the study. Half of the questionnaires that were distributed featured the image of a typically attractive woman, and the other half, a less attractive woman. The results showed that men were more likely to behave more honestly when they believed they were interacting with a beautiful woman, while the opposite pattern was seen in female participants.
So easier to lie to the ugly chick than the hot chick.
While the women exhibited what they call, quote, a beauty penalty toward attractive women.
Resentment makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's kind of confusing. I don't understand. How did they determine the lie? Like what was the
What are they lying about exactly? Yeah,
I don't have that information.
Okay.
But it seems like the easy one to expand on this.
It's the question,
the questionnaire. Like,
right, what kind of questions were on the questionnaire?
Oh, do we know? I don't have the specific questionnaire in front of me.
Right,
but I mean, what do you think it was? I mean, do you think it was
I don't know. How much money you make a year? I don't know.
Yeah.
So the researchers attributed women's reactions to an attractive female to, quote, the negative emotional priming of female jealousy and envy.
That makes sense.
Which is related to, I don't know what this is, social comparison theory? I don't know what that is.
Just sizing yourself up against the competition.
So men's behavior was linked to the, quote, beauty premium, a previously proven phenomenon that has found that beautiful people are often assumed to have good character traits and a good life.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if beautiful I think there is people have better character than ugly people.
I don't know about character, but the good life, I think people sometimes think, you know,
there's
prettier
no question,
people have it easier.
There's no question in wealthier neighborhoods, relatively speaking. I'm not talking about rich, but I mean just like, you know, the people are prettier. They're better looking.
Well, look, I'll just say this for women. Prettier women are going to get drinks bought for them. They're going to get more like benefits from it. Just it's the way it is.
Yes.
I don't know about the lying thing, but I will take it as the great study from the economics or whatever the heck you just said it was as true. I do think women and guys do it too. Guys maybe don't necessarily measure themselves in terms of looks. It's more like how much money you make, right? And in a way. But women, I happened to see a video yesterday. And it was a woman. It was like I was stuck in like real hell. And it hit some reel. And this attractive girl says she found out that one of her boyfriends had dated like all the friends when she started dating said, you know that he dated like a supermodel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she's like, I didn't want to look, but I had to look. Mm-hmm. And so she apparently scrolled through his whole Facebook for like 5 years before and then sees this beautiful girl that he had dated before.
That put her on tilt?
It put her on tilt.
Well, is it that a compliment to you if he dated a supermodel before?
I guess in a way, but...
Or she felt she was inferior.
But point is that they measure... That women will measure themselves in a way and can get jealous, and I'm sure guys do too.
I guess I get jealous when I see guys with abs at the beach. Very annoying when I see older guys.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, how many guys are you seeing that are 50 plus that have abs at Bung Bung Beach?
Not many.
Probably not many.
Most people are pretty.
I don't recall seeing
most
any.
Most people are pathetic pigs. Yeah, but you go to a beach, there's like not that many people.
That is true.
I can get them on an exhale cakes.
Well, good for you.
I've never had abs.
I'm in that camp.
Yeah,
never.
I mean, when I was skinny, I didn't have abs.
Right.
Soft core. Not a money core.
Yeah, his core needs work.
My core has never been silly.
Needs planks. Needs Kevin planks.
I'm not going to do planks.
No.
Not at this stage of my life.
It's hard. Planks are hard. They're difficult.
My daughter will go.
They're hard on my shoulders. Mm. That's why I can't do planks anymore.
She'll just go, all right, everybody. And she sets her clock. And she goes, let's do a minute.
I
never participate. Never. Not interested.
No thanks. Just say no thanks to planks.
My wife and I did a contest one time. I mean, this is like when we were first dating.
Yeah.
And I was thinner and in better shape. And it was kind of a trash talking thing. Like,
yeah.
And I did 5 minutes. She just killed me. She just quit at
six. 5 minutes is a long time.
That is a long plank.
That's a really long time.
Remember us doing planking back in the Fairfax studios when that was a thing for like a week?
It was a different type of plank.
I do. Definitely a different type of planking.
I do. I had to sit down. I was taking pictures at my daughter's volleyball thing in Philly on Sunday. And I was trying to sit. I guess the correct way you say it now was apple cross or whatever they call it.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, whatever. I was trying to sit that way. I would say it another way, but people say you're not supposed to say it that way. So,
Cleveland Guardian style.
Yeah, I was trying to sit Guardian style.
Right.
I'm so inflexible. I can't sit.
Well, who sits that way? I mean, that's the way that like little kids sit.
Well,
like
I was just sitting with holding a camera,
holding
myself up, taking shots. That seemed to be a good way versus just sitting on my knees. Like, how else would I do it?
I don't know.
But it's kind of hard too at our age.
Like grown
it's
people,
hard. Especially
not
if you have bad knees.
Like that's a tough way to sit.
My wife challenged.
I can't do it,
like kids
really.
Should sit that way.
My wife challenged me and Dylan the other day to do something. I couldn't do it. Where if you're laying on your back, and then she called it candlestick, you put your legs to, what is that, 90 degrees?
180
degrees, whatever, straight up. But then you try to get up then without using your hands.
No chance.
No, I mean, it's just,
no chance.
So she was just, ridiculous.
No, the just flip the legs and then get up, and I just.
Of course you can't do
she
that.
Was like, you don't have the core strength.
You seen the viral thing on
who can do that?
What the challenge they call it, the old man challenge, where you stand on one leg and then you're barefoot. You stand on one leg,
yeah,
and then you put your sock
it's
on,
butt hard.
And then your shoe on without touching.
It's hard
right?
to do that.
Then you switch legs, and then you put your other sock on your other, and you tie your shoe and everything, and then. Without touching,
I'm
and
a noted
balance.
Guy with very poor balance. That would be very difficult for me. I could do it, but I would definitely be wobbly.
I tried to do it in the locker room.
Yeah,
the other day, just when no one was looking.
Right.
I kind of did it, and then I started leaning on the locker.
But you have a perfectly good multiple benches there. There's no need for you to like.
I know. I just
there's
was just,
no need for it.
They call it the old man challenge, so I figured I'd do the old man challenge.
We're writing that demo. Yeah. But back to the lying thing. I don't know, Cakes. You are the king of white lies.
Yeah, that's okay? true. It's very
you're,
true.
You're documented liar when it comes to your. Gambling.
Well, who doesn't lie about their gambling?
Okay, but J.A. from
literally
Olney.
Everybody.
Yeah. That was so long ago.
That was a dark time in my
life. He got
life,
busted
understood.
On the Peloton.
It was also a lot of thievery. I mean, literally, honestly, it's a horse race between Jason and Cakes, who are the biggest criminal here. Of the
all right.
Sport.
I wouldn't. I think criminal's a little far, but he loves himself
credit
a white
card
lie.
Fraud.
I mean,
that happened.
I witnessed on many times.
Was never
Jason.
Caught, though.
These are what we're younger
driving
men.
To the beach when he's 14.
Sometimes for Cakes, it's very innocent. He would call his wife and say, I'm leaving JP's now.
Yeah.
Hang up. And then he'd say fire up another game.
When was the last time you lied to your wife?
Last time I lied to my wife. I don't know. It's a
come
good
on,
question.
Like, I'm not a real
I don't
lie.
Know. Like I have no idea.
He probably does it all the time from MGM
like
National
said,
Harbor. He's about to play
I'm
another cash game,
but you're playing another set or something.
No, it's if I go play tennis or pickleball, I
you
play until
her.
I'm done. Like,
yeah, okay,
say I'm leaving and I'll be back at around this time.
Maybe he's evolved, but he has been caught in white lies before. Like even the Peloton thing is just something silly that he lied about.
That was a great one. Mm-hmm.
Would you have had a harder time lying to a hottie versus a fugly?
Oh, I don't think it would matter. I think I could lie to anybody. I don't care if you're you could look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I could lie to you. You could be Cindy Crawford.
That study is saying it's harder to lie to.
Yeah, you're more. You feel like
the hot chick.
You feel like the hot chick is more trustworthy, and you're going to be more straightforward with her.
Right.
You're going to lie to the fugly.
But what kind of stuff do we lie about in today? Like with being old guys with kids, and like what are we lying about? Lurch,
what
are
we lying about?
Whether or not I'm going to meet my buddies for happy hour, or I'm
you do that? You're a duffer. Are you a duffer? You say you'll meet
them. He's probably a duffer.
Yeah.
And then you don't post.
And then I'll just say, I just don't post. And they say, where are you at? And I said, oh, something came up.
The only borderline lie I can think of that I've pitched to my wife recently is like, if I talk about, hey, Bitcoin's at 65K. She's like, are you ever going to sell it? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll sell it when it's like 150K per coin.
Yeah.
And I'm. That's a lie. If it gets 150K, I'm going to wait for it to get the 250K per coin.
You're basically never going to sell that thing.
It probably will.
He's going to die with it.
My kids will be like, look at all this Bitcoin. Right. Dad was stupid for not selling it.
And they're going, where's the password? And he's never going to find it.
What are you going to do? You got to get that hard wallet. That's where the Bitcoin is. All right, coming up next, we will get into EB's entertainment page. And don't forget, coming up at 9:20, we'll be joined by comedian Ari Shaffir here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.